Let's go. Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw on time tonight, kind of. I mean, we put the thing out at 6:15. I never said we were going at 6. So, TJ Pinder, Richie Barnes, we are back. 1 week to the day that we had a pretty colorful episode. I think we'll be a lot more PG tonight. In fact, I don't plan on I don't even plan on being PG, man. We'll be very family friendly here tonight. But thank you guys for tuning in. Double Fries, No Slaw. Might have a little bit of a quicker episode tonight, but we'll talk some recruiting, talk maybe one more time. I'll let Richie rant about the playoff. I feel like I've probably covered it from every single angle that's possible. So maybe I'll let Richie kind of be the one to do that, talk a little recruiting, talk a little transfer portal, and see what else we can get into. But Double Fries, No Slaw, brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. You can visit all three of their locations at 1818 West Tennessee Street, 2550 North Monroe, and then the third location, 2870 Appalachie Parkway. That is a to-go only, so that's drive-through, carry-out, pick-up, can't eat indoors. But appreciate you guys for tuning in. We've had a fun week on this channel. I don't really know how fun it's been, but there are a lot of new viewers out there. So thank you if you are new to the channel, new to Double Fries, No Slaw. A lot of people ask what the name is from. I'll give that answer out real quick just because we're on here live. That's how you order your gut box. So I don't know. Pretty easy, pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Richie and I, both sporting. Listen, Garnet and Gold, I'll always be a loyalist to Garnet and Gold, but I am sporting my If You Can't Beat Us, Cheat Us shirt. Richie's got his, it looks like the Barstool one. Is that right, Richie, that he has on 13-0? Yeah. Oh, is that a Madso?
No, it's the Barstool one.
Barstool, yeah. So
they don't pay us though, so don't buy it, guys.
But yeah, sometimes you just have to protest. I had a couple people stop me. I took my kids out today, and I had a couple people stop me and ask me, hey, what's this? And then they laughed. They got it, and they laughed at it. So,
well, I realized today, TJ, my wife's like, man, you can't really wear that in public. I'm like, you're probably right. I probably should not wear this in public.
Why not?
We'll see. We'll see.
I think it's fine. definitely wearing it one day in Ireland. So,
oh, yeah.
All right, Richie, outside of everything else, we'll talk about that stuff. How's your week been?
Good, man. It was nice. I watched Army Navy yesterday. That was a lot of fun. It's to me one of the best sporting events in the entire United States every year. The pregame festivities alone, it's just so good. Enjoyed that. And then the NFC South is so bad, but the Bucks beat the Falcons today, and I'm happy about that. So you got the Panthers, the Falcons, and the Bucks all at 6-7, and it's a damn shame, TJ. Someone from the NFC South is going to host a playoff game this season.
Well, it's much like college football. You don't necessarily have to have the best record, and you still get a spot in the playoff. All right, I have ranted and raved and talked crap about this all week, so I don't really feel like I have anything else that I really need to say. But do you have any final thoughts? You've had a week to digest it. Any kind of final thoughts on, yeah, people in the chat are still saying they're hurting. I thought about maybe doing like a call-in show. If that's something that you guys want to do, maybe we could do that on Monday night or something. But Richie, you have any final thoughts on this or anything you want to say? And then we'll try and move on from this until tomorrow night when I do a call-in show, I guess.
Yeah, I thought I'd be over it by now. And I'm still not. And I know I'm down bad because my wife, if you guys have paid attention to the show for long enough, my wife's a huge Alabama fan. She said to me probably close to 100 times this week, I wish you guys were in the playoffs instead of us. And you would tell she's genuine in those thoughts, but that's how spoiled Alabama fans are. It sucks. Desmond Howard went on live TV this week and basically admitted, yeah, we started that narrative and we're the reason that happened. It's frustrating. When you do the timeline of events, I think the thing that upsets me the most, TJ, is the fact that you have guys like McElroy and Herb Street who continue to cite the Jordan Travis injury when we knew before the injury, Herb Street was already starting that narrative and McElroy was still defending Florida State until 2 days after the fact. it's just frustrating the way it all played out. And just say, hey, if you're Kirk Herbstreit, just say, hey, like he kind of said on part of my take, like, I don't care about doing the right thing. Give me the four both best teams right now. Whatever. Like, it's just frustrating that this is how it all played out. Florida State should have got that chance. The, you know, ESPN released, you know, predictive the betting lines, and Florida State was minus 12 against Alabama. Okay. Line it up, play the game, because guess what? Washington was a 9.5-point underdog against Oregon, and we all saw what happened there. So it's just, I feel like TJ, we saw the last game of the 2023 Florida State football season last Saturday, and we didn't know it, the coaches didn't know it, and the players didn't know it. And that's what sucks, because in that locker room, had they known that was the last time they were all going to suit up together, you know, it would have made things a little different. And the fact that they didn't know it, we didn't know at the time, we all woke up Sunday morning assuming we were going to be good. When I saw Michael Alford tweeting nonstop about why Florida State deserves to get in last Sunday morning, I kind of knew. I'm like, oh boy, this isn't good. And then, shout out to the wife driving. She drove us home, and I'm watching on the phone, and the second McElroy starts saying Alabama's in. I'm like, whoa, bro, you just said Wednesday night Florida State's in if they win, and they won in dominating fashion, especially from a defensive standpoint. And this is how we ended up in the Orange Bowl. We'll talk about that a little bit, but man, I'm not going to lie, TJ, I'm not hurting any less today than I am last Sunday.
Let me give a quick shout out to Hunter. TJ doesn't want you in here if you haven't donated to the Battle's End.
Damn right.
Shout out Hunter. We play noise this week, Harlan. I'm not as depressed as I was last
week. You a recruit and you ain't going to Florida State. What you doing?
Big recruiting weekend. And then John, could you explain at a super high level how the Battle's End and NIL works? I joined inspired by Fund the Exit, and then your video this morning bumped up another level. Just love to understand how this works. Super high level, please. Yes, I will. I'll absolutely do that. I'm going to put a pin in it, and we'll talk about it as soon as we get done talking about like this playoff and stuff. But yes, that's a great question. John, thank you for your support. Hunter, yes. Thank you for the super chat as well. But that's a great question, and I am happy to kind of explain some of that. I had some of you reach out to me via email, some of you via DM, some people just by text that buddies with and say like, hey, you know, how's this Battle's End thing work? They don't pay me to convert people. I'll tell you that. Like, I don't get like a percentage of each sign up. There's no like double fries, no slaw sent me. There's nothing like that. But I'm always happy to have those conversations. So yes, John, thank you for asking that. And we'll answer it in just a minute. Richie, frustrating because at the end of the day, I understand it, and I'm not even saying I disagree with it on some level, but I'm not even saying I disagree with it. Like, I think if they were just honest,
yeah,
and they were just like, look, yeah, like we think Florida State would get blown out in the playoff, and so we're putting Alabama in because we think that's going to be a better game. Florida State deserves it, but like we think they'd get blown out. If like they would just be honest about that and just say it, or like, hey, which they never would, or like just, you know, hey, we think Florida State's better than Texas. We think Alabama's better than Florida State, but because of that head-to-head, we have to move Texas up with them, and it sucks for Florida State, but like, sorry, guys. Like, you were the path of least resistance. We got to get rid of you. Like, almost like if somebody would just come out and say that, I'd feel way better about it.
Save me the crocodile tears. That's what pisses me off the most. I'm heartbroken for these players. No, you're not. You don't care. You don't give a damn about these players. That's what upset me the most. Like, all of them and all of their talking points lined up exactly aligned. Like, let's be honest, CJ. Like, you know, people talk conspiracy theory and all this nonsense. I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. Like, we're talking about, you know, back in COVID, a conspiracy theory was proven true 6 months later every single time. That's where we're at right now. And these guys are acting. They all have the same exact talking points, whether it's Reese Davis, Kirk Herbstreit, Greg McElroy, Dan Olstein, whoever it may be. They all have the exact same talking points. And it's clear it's coming from the top.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's, like you said, I mean, it's not necessarily a conspiracy theory. I just think it's what ESPN wanted. Yeah. And I think that if you're a committee member and you listen to Kirk Herbstreit and Reese Davis and some of these guys that you certainly look up to, who, you know, before this week, who didn't look up to Kirk? I mean, Kirk Herbstreit's one of the biggest names in college football media. Like, a lot of people look up. It's like, you're on the committee, and you hear Kirk Herbstreit saying for 3 weeks that Florida State shouldn't get in, even before Jordan's hurt. Yeah. You're going to respect that to some level. And so, like, again, I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. I just think that ESPN kind of got what they wanted. And is it what's best for ESPN? Probably. Is it? Yeah. I mean, but like, whatever. Like, that, just be honest with us. Don't, I feel so bad for these players.
Don't patronize us. Yeah.
Yeah. It's dumb. So, all right. We had a question on the Battle's End, and I'll try and answer that to the best of my, and Richie, one more thing. It does suck too, because you're probably never going to see Johnny Wilson play for Florida State again. I think he's already opted out. We had that in the notes. Yeah. You're probably never going to see Keon Coleman play for Florida State again. Obviously, Jordan Travis was one that you already knew. You know, there are other guys, you know, maybe some linebackers, maybe some secondary guys, maybe some defensive linemen. I'd be pretty surprised if you ever saw Fabian Lovett play again. He hasn't officially opted out, but I know he was battling some stuff. I'd be pretty surprised if you ever saw Braden Fisk play for Florida State again. I know that Trey Benson's been out there a little bit, but he's been banged up too. Like, it'd suck if you never saw him play again. And you know, it's just frustrating because you really did. Like, you kind of thought, like, man, if we can just get through this game, we'll kind of –
have a month to get healthy.
A month to go and kind of go from there. And that just obviously was robbed. Like, you didn't get that opportunity that you thought you were going to get. And so that's frustrating. So, all right. So we had a question on the Battle's End. The Battle's End specifically is Florida State's NIL collective that deals primarily with football. They work with a couple of other sports as well. Let me try and plug this thing in right here as one of my lights went out. There we go. Works primarily with football, just very high level. I mean, to compete in today's college football world, we'll talk recruiting here in a minute, you've got to have a pretty strong NIL group or NIL funds. You know, kids are not necessarily recruiting to, or I'm sorry, committing to your school just for the love of the colors, you know, like you and I love garnet and gold. Their kids aren't necessarily doing that. And so to compete for some of the high level kids, you have to offer sometimes pretty elite and unmatched NIL opportunities. And obviously name, image, and likeness is something that's been around for 2.5 years now. And Florida State does have a very, very robust and healthy NIL collective with the Battle's End. Some of the other sports are supported by Rising Spear, which we've talked about in the past. But essentially, you know, the Battle's End had some pretty good seed money, some good startup money, and it's kind of, you know, they didn't even ask for donations. I believe their first 5 or 6 months that they were around, they retained a lot of the players that we just mentioned that you absolutely loved watching this year, from Johnny Wilson to Trey Benson to Jared Verse, Fabian Lovett, Jordan Travis, and others. And Florida State doesn't go 13-0, obviously, without some of those guys, right? Like, if Jordan or Jared or Trey or Johnny or some of those guys were to move on, they also did a really good job of acquiring talent, you know, picking up Fentrell Cypress, picking up Kyle Morlock, picking up Braden Fisk, who was massive in that championship game, Keon Coleman, obviously. And so the Battle's End is working to you know, not only retain the talent on the roster, there's a lot of tampering going on with every college in America. I'm not even saying we don't do that, you know, but essentially there's
we
just
better be doing that.
A ton of it going on at this point. And so the Battle's End is at a point now where they are looking to really ramp it up, really go. I believe 8 days ago, the Battle's End had about 1,500 members as of today. Since really the snub, the Battle's End has added 3,000 plus members, and they're up over 4,500 right now. They are very much well on their way to their goal of 5,500. If you just did some real, real simple math on what that looks like, if every single person that joined the Battle's End joined at the lowest possible donation spot at $19.93 a month, that'd be about $1.3 million. Obviously, some people joined at a much higher level. So if you just took that average up to, say, double it to $40 for every person that joins, you're at about a $2.64 million annualized revenue. I don't know what their exact numbers are. I'm not speculating on that. But just to give you an idea, if every single person was the lowest, you'd have almost $1.5 million in revenue coming through. If you double that, then you can just kind of take the math from there and kind of see where it goes. So big goal of 5,500. If you haven't joined yet, certainly would encourage you to. I know that a lot of times I just kind of talk about, hey, go join, and don't necessarily talk about all the ins and outs and what it actually does. So, John, thank you for that question. I appreciate it a ton. They also have a $500,000 match right now. Somebody offered, I think it might have been Harlan, might have or offered to match everything that's donated, upgraded, all of the things. $500,000 worth of a match. But I think between now and December 22nd, you also, when you join, I'll try and get this up as close as I can, get this cool little membership card. It is, I don't know if you can hear this or not, but it is metal. Here, like I can, look, I got a diet over here. So
shout out the Delaware Chicken Farmer.
Yeah.
That's a great endorsement. I love it. But yeah, $500,000. Seriously, even if it's a one-time donation of $20, guys, that goes a long way. If you're watching this show right now, you are a diehard Florida State fan. You don't, you know, just out of nowhere decide, let me hop on YouTube on a Sunday evening at 6:15, 6:30 p.m. and watch this. No, join the battle's end, guys. And if you can, give to boosters also, because we need to get out of this godforsaken conference that is the ACC. I believe we are in the works of doing that. I'm not going to go into stuff that I don't know that's above my pay grade, but get to the battle's end, donate to Symbols Boosters, and trust me, we are going to be just fine as a program because this fan base has been galvanized, and I absolutely love it, TJ.
So, John, great question, and yeah, it's been pretty cool to see people supporting and the groundswell of support that they've seen. It still sucks. You know, I'm not necessarily happy about it, but I do think you can, in life, you can certainly look at positives and take some positives away from crappy things that happen, right? It's not the same situation by any means, but obviously the Jameis Winston stuff that went on 10 years ago sucked, and it sucked to go through it, and all the hate sucked, but it certainly did galvanize the team, and it certainly did kind of get them to rally around each other. And so maybe that's something that this fan base and this program can kind of use to galvanize itself going forward in the next several years. So go sign up for the Battle's End if you haven't yet. Appreciate you guys that already have, and those of you who have sent messages and said, like, hey, I get paid on this day, I'm doing it here. Or I get a Christmas bonus on this day, I'm doing it here. Certainly every little bit helps. And we appreciate it. They appreciate it. And you're going to appreciate it even more when we're absolutely running through people next year. So that'll be fun. All right, let's roll, Richie. What else do we have? Jordan Travis, fifth in Heisman voting. Maybe a little bit of a snub because he's the only player ever to win 10 games without any teammates, according to ESPN. But Jordan Travis, fifth in the Heisman voting. Again, I don't know. Feels like that could have been, you know, could have been invited to that. Being fifth, they can invite up to five. But, of course, they didn't. So I'll just get to complain about it on here. Jordan was phenomenal, and just, you know, the thought that, you know, a couple of years ago he wanted to quit football and wasn't allowed to throw that at all, but still a few years later, you know, finishes that high in the Heisman voting and truly, like, had he stayed healthy, he probably would have finished even higher, just kind of a de facto, like, 13-0 record is going to put you pretty high. Maybe finish third, maybe around the Pennix area. You know, who knows if he had gone off against Louisville, maybe like a Heisman moment there. But yeah, I think it's cool to see JT still finish fifth. You know, he's won a lot of awards already, ACC Player of the Year, ACC Offensive Player of the Year, things like that. But it was cool to see some of his hard work and just, you know, the player and person that he is really get rewarded last night in some form or fashion.
Yeah, it's a shame he didn't get invited to NYC, and I don't know if he would have been able to even make it up there given the injury. He made it to Charlotte, so I think he probably could have made it to New York City. But and when I think of Jordan Travis, I think of him and Mike Norvell as the two people who turned the entire direction of this program around. You know, going from you know, the only reason Jordan Travis was here is because Willie Taggart failed to sign a quarterback out of high school 2 years in a row. And he's like, I got a plan. And he just panicked and said, oh, Jordan Travis, come on in. You're in. And Willie Taggart didn't even play Jordan Travis. And then as soon as Willie was fired, you know, Kendall Brown says, no, let's play this guy. Like, he's an athlete. Let's give him a chance. And I can't think of, and I've watched Florida State religiously since the early 90s. I can't think of a quarterback who took a larger step than Jordan Travis did from 2021 to 2022. Like that LSU game last year in New Orleans, I was like, oh my goodness, is this our quarterback? Now he can pass too, and he can run. And this year he was phenomenal, and he averaged like 17 yards a game rushing. Like it wasn't his legs that people cared about. He was a true quarterback, and I think he'll get a chance in the NFL. I really do, and we'll be pulling for him to do so. But, yeah, to finish fifth in the Heisman, come on, guys. Come on, Downtown Athletic Club. You couldn't at least invite the man for the ceremony because he deserved it. And when you know his story, when you know he had a terrible experience at Louisville, wanted to quit at Florida State, and turned into what he did, you know, literally the staple of this program, him and Mike Norvell turned this program from habitual losers to a national power. Those two men, and Jordan and Mike Norvell does not do that without Jordan Travis. And that's what I love. And Jordan Travis, you know, for people younger than us, TJ, Jordan Travis might be their favorite quarterback of all time at Florida State, because they don't know about Charlie Ward, or they didn't at least experience it. They know about him, obviously. Everybody knows Charlie Ward. For me, Jordan might be my favorite Florida State quarterback of all time. And I'm 35 years old, and, you know, I love what James did. I love Charlie. I've met both of them. I love what they've done. But what Jordan did is special. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, when I think about it, it's tough. Like, it's tough to, you know, like, so I never saw Charlie play live. So it's hard for me to, I saw him play basketball a little bit. I'll never forget, like, seeing him play with Kobe. You know, like, that's kind of a cool thing. But it's hard for me to put, I appreciate, we'll talk a little transfer QB here in a minute. I saw that question. But yeah, I appreciate Charlie Ward as much as anybody, and what he was able to do. First player I really like, the first couple of players I really fell in love with were Chris Winkie and Peter Warwick. Yeah. You know, and that's kind of like my formative years. It's like when I really remember, like 98, 99, 2000, kind of watching football. Jameis will always be number one for me. I mean, that's no shot at Jordan. I absolutely love Jordan, but Jameis, I mean, Jameis is behind only Kobe. You know, like in my like favorite fandom of all athletes. But I think Jordan's right there. You know, I think Jordan's like, you know, he might be ahead of Winkie, you know, I mean, it's hard for me, you know, again, I'm young
for me. Yeah.
You know, it's hard for me to have Charlie up there in my favorites. Now interacting with Charlie Ward has been great. We've had him on here. I've chatted with him several times. Like, he's a really cool guy, but I didn't watch him. And so it's hard for me to, you know, be like a diehard Charlie Ward fan, you know, because I never got to see him. But Jordan's up there. I mean, he's probably, you know, I love Chris. But I mean, just, you know, I mean, Jordan's probably two, you know, at worst three, you know, and I loved Chris, Christian Ponder. I loved EJ Manuel. I know a lot of people give him crap. I loved Weatherford and Ricks, and I loved all those guys, you know, just cause they were the QB of my favorite team. So, I mean, I loved a lot of those guys, but yeah, like, you know, I mean, Jordan was special, and turning this thing around was really unique. And like you said, never really seen anything like it. Never seen a quarterback be able to turn it around this much. And he really did. And man, he set Florida State up and put them in a position to really be, you know, a force for a lot of years. To do that, recruiting is going to have to continue to stay up. Number three class in the country right now. We'll talk a little recruiting in a minute, but man, Richie, I've gone back and forth on this. Actually, I've just gone back. I think one way about this. I doubt it happens now, just after more and more conversations with people, but I really wish this game would get canceled and enough people would opt out to where it doesn't happen. But UGA minus 14 early line. I kind of hate this game because I don't think it matters. Obviously, it doesn't matter for anything. You're going to have so many opt-outs on both sides. You're going to have so many guys not playing. And, you know, if you lose, everybody's going to, you know, you could lose with 15 opt-outs and everybody's going to say, see, they didn't deserve to be there. And you could win because Georgia has 20 opt-outs and everybody's going to say it doesn't matter because Georgia won. So you're just darned if you do, darned if you don't in this game. I hate to be all doom and gloom and negative Nancy on this, but I'll just keep rolling. I also think the bowl practices are incredibly overrated. I
disagree.
So here's why I think so. There are so many guys that will opt out that I think most of the practices are just going to be like install work, like just literally trying to get guys to line up in the right spot. And because you've got so many guys out and if the practices were at a mid-season level to where our young guys were getting to go up against Jared Verse, getting to go up against Fabian Lovett, getting to go up against Johnny Wilson, Keon Coleman, I'd agree. But, man, you're going to have so many of those stars opting out that I think the practices that you get are less beneficial than they would have been if the 15 practices you get are way less beneficial than 15 mid-year or August practices. Now, are they somewhat beneficial? Sure. But I think that, again, most of it's just install work, trying to get guys to line up in the right spot so you don't get embarrassed against UGA with procedural stuff. And then, you know, your regular guys aren't out there. You're just trying to get Tate comfortable, right? So much of it's going to be about that. So, I don't know. On a normal year where Jordan was out there, absolutely. But I think this year especially, where guys are demotivated, not wanting to be out there, opted out, I think these practices are overrated. Now, I'm happy to hear the other side, but I'm not changing my mind on this.
Yeah, I completely disagree, which is nice when we can disagree wholeheartedly. George is in the same boat, right? Back-to-back national champs, 29 straight games. I believe it was 29. It might have been 30, 28, whatever. Nobody cares. But yeah, they don't want to be in the Orange Bowl either. Neither. This is what's so sad about college football these years is that you have two programs who are established powers in the college football world, and neither one wants to even be in the Orange Bowl. And like you said, only Johnny Wilson has opted out officially. Keon's not going to play. Jared Verse, I don't think he's going to play. You know, Tatum Bethune, you know, Kalen DeLoach. I don't expect any of these guys to play, but I do think the practices are a big deal for me personally, because you have young guys like Hakeem Williams, Destin Hill, et cetera, and Tate, and, you know, we'll talk about the transfer portal in a little bit. This is Tate's audition to say, hey, I should be the starting quarterback next year. Now, personally, I don't think he's the guy. I just don't. I'll come out and say it. I think we need to get Cam Ward or DJU. We'll see what happens. But yeah, it to me, that's the only exciting part about it is the practices, because the game itself doesn't matter. I said at the start of the show, TJ, that we already saw the last game of the 2023 Florida State Seminoles. They went 13-0, and they will be 13-0. I don't care what happens against Georgia. Because Georgia's backups are a lot better than Florida State's backups right now. 4 years from now, that's not going to be the case. As long as Mike's here and is recruiting the way he is. But as of right now, yeah, Georgia's backups are going to destroy Florida State's backups. I hate to say it. It's the truth, though. But that's going to happen in the Orange Bowl. Florida State might win the game, potentially. It's more likely they lose by 3 touchdowns. Let's just say what it is. That's the way the rosters are constructed, that's how it is. Maybe Marvin Jones Jr. says, hey, go to Tallahassee and hop in the portal. We'll see what happens. But there's a lot of things going on. But no, I think the practices for the young guys, especially with all the opt-outs that I'm expecting, you know, the Verse, the Keons, the Johnnies, etc., these extra practices go a long way. And I bet Billy Napier wishes that he had some extra practices right now.
See, I'll disagree with that too, because the more Billy Napier coaches, the more he screws his guys up. So I think he's actually happy to like not have them practicing. Like, I think they're better if he's not coaching them. Like, at least Norvell like installs good stuff. So I'm not buying that one either. So, I get it. I'd love to know, and this is what I, you know, would be tough to find out. I mean, I could find out, I guess, if I really care that much. But it'd be nice to know like how much of this is like, how much of practice is like, you know, really beneficial toward the future, and how much are they just trying to like get Tate comfortable to like make a few plays? You know, like how much of that is either way, you know, how many practices do they actually go out and use? You know, you get 15 practices. They're not going to use all 15 for sure. You know, just because of finals in there, you're going to get some time off for the holiday. You just don't use all of them. And so how many practices are they using? Who all's there practicing? Can they get some of the guys who are probably not going to play in the game to practice a little bit? I mean, I don't know. I doubt they would just because of injury and stuff. So it's tough to know like who's even out there, you know, when they're practicing. Yeah. All right. So you mentioned, you said this, and we'll keep rolling. If you haven't yet and you're watching, hit that subscribe button. Join us here at Double Fries No Slaw. Cam Ward, DJU, a lot of questions around the quarterback position. I have talked about this a little bit in the Discord. If you haven't joined that, go check it out. Link is in the description. But yeah, I think Cam Ward's a pretty clear QB1 in that pairing. But I don't think it's like, you know, Jameis to DeAndre Francois, like any kind of a step down like that. I think both are really, really capable. I think DJU gets a lot of hate because people remember him at Clemson and just wasn't very good. He was phenomenal
at Oregon State this year.
Yeah, he was really good. He had a better QBR than Jordan Travis did, and it was close. Like, it was like 1 point away. But, you know, at the end of the day, better QBR, similar touchdowns, more interceptions, but I also think that Jordan probably had like
four or five interceptions dropped,
like really bad passes that Jordan kind of got lucky that got dropped. More rushing yards, similar rushing touchdowns. I think he's a little bit more durable of a quarterback. I mean, he's just bigger frame, bigger body. Jordan's injury was pretty freak. Like that's not like a Jordan wasn't taking care of himself or wasn't big enough. I mean, somebody falls on your leg like that, then you know you're it's getting snapped in half. Like, you know, I'm sure he doesn't have stronger bones than Jordan does. But yeah, a little more durable probably in a Mike Norvell offense. So I do really like DJU, and I'm not upset at all if we get DJU. I think the step that he took from Clemson to Oregon State was really big, and I think the step that he would take under Mike Norvell would also be pretty large. But I do like Cam Ward a lot. And I think that Cam Ward is a player that if you have a chance to get, you certainly do it. This will get clipped if they end up getting him. But I think one of your biggest reasons you want Cam Ward is because I think Miami has a really good shot to get him too. And so if you get Cam Ward, you also keep him away from Miami, which would be really, really big. So yeah, I think Cam Ward's a pretty clear QB1. DJU is somebody that I kind of think, like, Richie, when I look at next year and I look at the schedule, I mean, nobody on the schedule scares me. I mean, the Clemson game's always tough. Florida game's always tough. You have to go to Miami and, they're a quarterback away from, being a really good team, and they'd have been a really good team this year.
They just lost their best receiver too. Let's throw that out there.
Well, they think they're getting a better receiver as a freshman, but we'll see on that one. So, like the schedule doesn't really worry me, but I also think like, man, you know, with like if Tate was to start next year, your ceiling's probably like 8-4, 9-3, absolute best.
Yeah,
and that's if like your team really kind of balls out and plays hard. I think with DJU, your ceiling goes up to like 10, maybe 11. I think with Cam Ward, you're looking at like an 11-win season.
I think 12-0 is the ceiling with either one of the two. You know, you're probably not going 12-0, but that's definitely the ceiling with either one of those, because I think Mike Norvell's offense, both of those quarterbacks are tailor-made for this offense. And, you know, people are like, oh, you're losing Johnny and Keon. Yeah, but we got Hakeem Williams. We got Destin Hill. We got all these other receivers. Florida State has a lot of weapons. Don't you dare let us get Jeremiah Smith as well, because if he comes in, my goodness, can you imagine, TJ? This is a furious offense that teams are going to be like, what the heck, man? We thought they were losing everybody, and now they come back with this group of players? Yeah, that's a possibility, and I'm excited. And whether it's DJU or Cam Ward, I'm happy with either one, because – you know, and I like Tate. I like Brock Lynn. I do think Brock Lynn has a very bright future. I think Tate is a very suitable backup. Florida State does not have a starting quarterback for 2024 unless they get a Cam Ward, a DJU, or someone similar, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think Brock needs a little more time. Missed a lot of time this year. I mean, shout out to Brock and Tate for what they did against Florida and Louisville.
Yeah,
and North Alabama. I mean, Tate came in, you know, down 13 points, and the thing could have snowballed. But I think that you need, you know, you got to go out and try and compete. And like I said, with Brock, your ceiling's probably like 7-8 wins. With Tate, you're probably like 7-9. On a really good year, you know, I think you do 9. The schedule sets up fairly nicely for you. You get both your tough games at home. And who knows if Florida will even have a coach at the end of the year next year.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you can get DJU or, you know, Cam Ward, I think you'd be in really good shape. There's been some questions around Dante Moore. I don't really think that conversations have gone super deep there based on what I'm told. Hey, I just am. Like, while we're doing this, and I know you guys didn't tune in to hear NFL updates, you should realize the Vikings-Raiders is like 0-0 with 3 minutes left in the game. Like,
is it real?
Phenomenal. Well, you know, Kirk Herbstreit's probably like peeing himself right now that a low-scoring defensive game could happen.
No, he's saying this great defense.
Yeah. All right, so speaking on Jeremiah Smith, a little recruiting, and then we'll move on. Had an official visit this week, which – I don't know. I think people read too much into official visits. Official visits always go really well. Like, one out of every 50
official visits. Nobody's ever had a bad official visit.
Yeah, very rarely. Like, one out of every 50, one out of every 100, like, is bad. You know, it's like they wine and dine you. You don't have to pay for anything. You're shown around the campus by, like, the prettiest girls there. You know, like, you have an
NFL. Shoulas, get a nice ribeye.
Yeah, you've, exactly. You have a wonderful time. They fly your whole family in. It's incredible. So people ask, like, how do you think his visit went? And I'm like, great, because it was an official visit. Like, go, you know, most of the people watching this probably are not D1 athletes, and the two guys on here are not D1 athletes either. But go take an official visit. Like, it's amazing. Like,
no one has a bad time.
Yeah, maybe in table tennis. All that said, I think there's a lot of concern right now out of Ohio State for where they stand with Jeremiah Smith. I don't necessarily think that, when a kid's committed somewhere, it's hard to say that something's a done deal. I certainly am not trying to imply that or anything like that, but I think the Noles were in a really good spot for him. I think being able to use an official visit just 10 days before signing day is huge. I think that, you know, getting him on campus multiple times without using UOV was big. He hasn't been to Ohio State in how many months? I think he was up there in October. So I guess just a month and a half at this point. But, you know, they always say follow the visits. And, you know, I think that's fairly true. I think that, you know, look at where he's been, look at where he's going, try to watch to see if he goes anywhere next week. He said that he's not. He said that he's not going anywhere. And so, we'll see. You know, if he doesn't show up anywhere else, I feel really good about where the Noles are at. But those are his words, not mine. Number one player in the country. If Florida State was able to pull that flip, what retribution? What a turnaround from 2 years ago when you lost the number one player in the country. If you could flip one back, so we'll see. Hopefully get some news coming out the next couple of days after his visit and kind of see how that all went down. But I mean, I think the Noles are in a really good spot. I don't know, Richie, you putting your crystal ball in yet, or where are you at?
No, I honestly think with him playing in the state championship game in Tallahassee at FAMU's field, which was awesome, by the way, when he was wearing Florida State gloves, I almost felt there's a post game interview where he said, "I'm committed to Florida State." To me, that told me he's not coming to Florida State. That's just my opinion. I do not think Jeremiah Smith is coming to Florida State. I would love it if Ron Dugans and Mike Norvell could pull this off. I just don't see it happening. And that's probably the pessimist in me, but that's just where I stand.
Yeah, I'll go the other way. I'll say that, I mean, you know, I'll take the wild guess. Richie and I have just disagreed all night, so I can't agree with him on this now. Yeah, I'll go the other way. I'll say he does end up flipping. I'll say he's not at Ohio State. All right. Wherever he ends up, that's his decision. But
Miami or Florida State? Because I don't think Florida's a factor. I don't think Florida's an actual factor.
Yeah, I think if he flips, it's us. I mean, I think that's big. Now, if he was to take a visit next week to Miami and spend like the weekend there, maybe I'd reconsider some things. But As far as if he flips, I think it's us.
Yeah.
That Miami gets
fake. That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
I know that Miami gets fake confident about a lot of things, but I think they're off here. But we'll see. Maybe I'll get Old Takes Exposed. Actually, Old Takes Exposed doesn't do recruiting, so I can't get Old Takes Exposed there. So I don't feel too bad about it. All right, a bunch of portal updates. I think we're going to skip all of those, and I'll just do those as a single video. Georgia Tech defensive end transfers in. A lot of conversations about Okanola. I don't know. Harlan, if I'm saying that wrong, just tell me. But the Pitt defensive end has the family member down at Miami. Conversations there, too. Obviously, you know, this generation's Justin Fields. We cannot let the Marvin Jones Jr. thing go in this fan base. So we'll see. I don't have a lot of hope one way or the other there. But we'll talk transfers. We'll talk potential guys in the portal, you know, that Florida State's after. We spent a little time on quarterbacks, but outside of that, I think that we can make that its own video. Richie, I wanted to ask you about this, and then we can get out of here. Do you see did you see Urban Meyer basically say that, like, Florida fans have a right to be upset, and they should be upset because obviously things haven't gone well under Napier, and you know, Napier's just got to, like, not let the pressure get to him, and I don't know, just something that I found pretty funny, you know, on it was actually on the Buddy Martin show, but yeah, just talking about the pressure, talking about how, you know, try and temper yourself to make sure that everybody knows that you just got to stay focused and blah, 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 blah. So how many games do you think Napier makes it through next year?
That's a great question. My goodness.
All right, wait. Before I let you answer that.
I'll pull up the schedule real quick.
Yeah. Let's talk real quick. I know that you guys didn't tune in to hear us talk about the Gators, but we are going to crap them on them a little bit. So you guys can just be patient. They open up week one with the Hurricanes in the Swamp. And, people are going to yell at me because they think I'm hyping Miami. But Miami's a better team than Florida is.
Yeah.
But Florida's got a better quarterback as of now. Like, I don't know. Maybe Miami picks up Cam Ward. I don't know. But I think not if they go in there with whatever that kid's name was that played against us. Like, he ain't beating Florida, I don't think. I mean, maybe, though. They're a dumpster fire. And Ja'Cory Brown, I don't think, is beating Florida. But if they get, like, a top five transfer and
who's going to transfer to UF? Why?
No, I'm saying if Miami gets a top five transfer at quarterback.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think Miami – honestly, like, I'm not trying to, like, you know –
No, they got their money. Miami.
I think they're a quarterback away from
Miami. Yeah, their trenches are solid. Their trenches are good.
They've got good skill players. Like,
yeah.
They played Florida State well.
They did lose a receiver, but we'll leave that.
So they play Miami first, and then they play Samford, so they'll win that. Then they play A&M, first year Elko. We'll see. It'd be cool if they had it'd be cool if they had Lagway.
That'd be great.
It'd be hilarious. Then they play UCF, Tennessee, Georgia, Ole Miss, you know, Florida State. They got Kentucky, LSU, Mississippi State, and Texas.
I don't see six wins on that schedule.
I don't either. I mean, I could see them beating Samford. I think they'll beat UCF. Let's say they beat Mississippi State, also not a great team. Let's say they Ole Miss will have a new quarterback, right? Jackson Dart's not coming back. So maybe they beat Ole Miss. Tennessee can't find a way to beat them, it seems like. So maybe give them five wins. I got five wins right now. I got Miami beating them week one. Yeah. And if Miami beats them week one, that you think the Gator fans that are negative right now are going
to
be.
Oh, they want him gone already. They already want him gone. If he loses to Miami week one,
they're firing him.
Like, he legit might get fired week one next year.
I don't think they would fire him, but it would be funny because then they'd they couldn't go through 12 games. But if they lose a couple and then, like, lose to Georgia in pretty embarrassing fashion, like, and you can tell through the rest of their schedule that they're not going to win many more games, like, he'll definitely, like, I don't think he coaches in the FSU game as of right now.
No, absolutely not. Like, what are we talking about here? Zero chance.
I think he's out by then. Harlan, you think he coaches in the FSU game? You just text me, or you can say it one way or the other. Harlan says no. Harlan says he doesn't coach. All right, we're 3-0 that Napier doesn't coach.
No.
But I kind of want Lagway to not decommit, because I think if he decommits, they might fire him. So I kind of want them to keep him for one more year. Okay. Sorry.
Or wait till the second signing day and then not commit.
So. Yeah. Okay, we didn't talk about this because it happened right after. Obviously mixed feelings, but wanted to kind of give their flowers. The women's national champion soccer team Monday night won the national championship 5-1. My goodness, just absolutely went off on Stanford. Another undefeated team, a team that won all their games. And fortunately, in women's soccer, you do get a chance to compete for a championship when you win all your games.
Do you know how many goals football. Stanford gave up during the regular season?
No, how many?
Less than 10.
That's crazy. Yeah, in they were 20 on
fire. Plus games. 20 plus games, and Florida State put 5 on them.
Yeah, that's insane.
And it could have been 7 if you watched the game. My goodness.
Yeah, they were going nuts. So, shout out the women's soccer team. You have any shout outs, Richie?
No, shout out, you know, the women's soccer team, like you said, TJ, that they're awesome. I will not shout out the men's basketball team.
Oh boy. Yeah, they just sacrifices had to be made for this football program to be elite again. And sorry that it was Richie's favorite sport. So, all right. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. We hung out a little bit longer than I thought we would tonight, but it's all good. I had a bunch of people in here. Make sure that you're donating to the Battle's End, contributing monthly. You know, not everybody on here. Every time I say this, somebody gets their panties in a wad and is like, you can't call out every person, you know, like, I'm just like, shut up. You know, if this doesn't apply to you, you don't have to donate. But a lot of you guys waste a lot more money on dumb things than this football program. So go donate to the Battle's End. And that's my pleading plea with you at the end to get out of here. So appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out. Talk to you soon. Love you. Go Noles.